response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich. And now, here's your host, Rich Horace.
Good Saturday afternoon, and welcome to Ride at Home with Rich. It's me, your host, Rich Horace. And today, we have a very special guest joining us, Kimberly Vitale. So Kimberly has been a longtime client of Mosby and has worked closely with our team to transform her home into a masterpiece. You know, Mosby Building Arts is you know, we're really known for our exceptional home remodeling and design work. And we're really excited today to hear from Kimberly about her experiences working with us. You know, from minor repairs to a master suite addition, Mosby has been there every step of the way. I can't wait to hear all these different, we're going to have some great stories for you today. I will also have my On the Road with Rich segment and my hack. It'll be throughout the show, so stay tuned for both of those as well. But let's welcome Kimberly Vitale, lifelong Mosby client and chair of the board at CASA. And we'll get into that, you know, what that is a little bit later. But thanks for taking some time out and joining us today and just spreading some good words. How are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for inviting me, Rich. I really appreciate it.
No, I think it's great for people to hear, you know, just that kind of experience, that third party, like I've been there, I've done that from that side. And especially I really enjoy it with you because we can do some good with the CASA organization and all that. And you've got some events we'll talk about, you know, we can get into that probably in the second segment. So I can't wait to go over stuff like that because that's a great thing, too. I love doing all of that. So kind of a twofold thing that we can get out there, which is awesome. So I guess we just kind of start out with your history. Like, you weren't always in St. Louis, right? And so you moved here and got with Mosby and stuff
here,
like that.
Moved here from Hawaii in 2000 and bought a house quickly. Called Mosby to do a master suite addition. And so that was my first experience. Mosby was recommended by a friend.
Oh, okay,
so
great.
So a great recommendation, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So so kind of looking at, you know, from that experience on, like, you know, starting out with that one, why did you choose Mosby to perform the work that you needed for your home?
Well, we were new to St. Louis, and so, you know, when you're new somewhere, everything is a challenge, finding a dentist and all those things.
Yeah.
So we came with strong recommendations, and we really didn't interview anyone else. We talked with Mosby, liked the idea behind what they were going to do, what you had said you would be able to do, and quickly hired Mosby, and honestly, never looked back and never regretted it, as evidenced by our 20 plus years of working together on a couple of homes.
Yeah. And that is awesome, you know, because you are not the only one, but we have plenty of, you know, 15, 20 year clients that, you know, I've been here 21 years now. So there's this great history of all these people that, you know, we just, kind of like you, we just do everything for them. They're like, I'm not getting crazy. I'm not going through. I know what to expect. I know how it's going to happen and all that. And, you know, it's just a great thing. So this is just what we do. You know, it's really, I was just telling somebody the other day, you know, because they were like, well, the Better Business Bureau says, you know, get three bids.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, there's a difference between design, build, and bids, number one. You know, what are you really doing? But I said, the other thing is when you really think about it, you know, the Better Business Bureau, one, they can't really say or have a vested interest in one company. And for us, it's awesome because clients like you have a vested interest. They're like, I would do everything with you, and I would recommend to everybody, do everything with them. It's that simple. And yeah. I don't have to go out and look for these other people because it's just repetitive and it's great. But let's touch on, like, you know, what projects, what type of projects and different projects, you know, have we done for you? And what was kind of some of those experiences while doing the projects?
Sure. Yeah. So in my current house, which I bought in 2005, I called you right away and it was a really small project. I said, I just want to replace the toilets because they were contractor. It was a flip. Yeah. It was contractor grade toilets. And I knew that I wanted, this is so funny. I mean, this is so bizarre, but I really wanted Toto toilets. And so I called you and said, can you put in Toto toilets? And you said, yeah, we can do anything effectively. So the previous project had been a master suite addition in my other house, but we started in my current house with a really small project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that, you know, we do so many projects like that, that and it's good to kind of, you know, put that out there because not everything is a master suite or this big remodel or siding the entire house. You know, we fixed issues with some leaks and some cold air in the walls and freezing pipes, and we've done, you know, all sorts of projects that were not nearly the magnitude of like a design build firm that does, you know, and here at Mosby, you know, for everybody to understand, we do that stuff. So, I mean, we've had giant, huge, complete house remodels, big, big projects. I would say last year, probably the smallest project I signed with a client was like $947. Mm-hmm. You know, it was not, and we can do that stuff. And so for everybody to kind of understand that, I think it's a good deal because a lot of people, and if you go to our website, you know, like I say all the time, you can find all this information, callmosby.com. You can see all this stuff. Okay, we're not showcasing a $947 project, you know, for like, look at the grab bars we installed or so, but people, you know, we have a great marketing team here. They do some wonderful, wonderful things, but it's hard to look at that and go, oh, and they also will just put in some grab bars for me, or we'll fix my, you know, leak in my window, or we'll, you know, correct my pipes that freeze, or different things like that. It's, you know, so it's great to put that out there for everybody. One of the things I wanted to ask you about was if you could remember that first visit, which you just talked about with mm-hmm. the Toto toilets and stuff. And we've had so many between now and then. Can you think of a favorite, most memorable project or piece of a project that, that kind of happened with us?
Yeah, I think the master suite addition to my current house has to be the most impactful. It was also probably the project that went on the longest. It had Steve Kreider was on site every day. He managed everything, so he was wonderful. We, you know, it was such a great experience. He, at the time, I had two cats, and he really accommodated everything that we needed for them because they were very curious. And so I was concerned that they would be, you know, in a room while someone was painting and, you know, or using heavy, you know, tools or something like that. So that was the one, that was the project that was the biggest, most impactful in my life. The exterior remodel that we did where we painted my house. My house went from white to gray, redid the front walkway, put in a new door, which is probably to this day one of my all-time favorite parts of it.
Yeah, that door is really exceptional.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that was probably the one in terms of like front facing what people see in my home. That was probably the most impactful. And to be honest, for me, because all the work was outside, that wasn't as involved. But again, a great crew, really wonderful people to work with.
Yeah, yeah. And can you just maybe touch on that part of the experience a little bit more? Like, you know, you've done a lot of different types of projects and processes with us, from the full design build to just figuring things out and you know, finding the door and different things. Can you just kind of touch on how those experiences have been and worked trying to get to, you know, into a project like that?
Well, as you know, usually I call you like in January or February or text and say, hey, Rich, I've got a project, because I do like to make sure that the house is, that things are kept up to date and look good. So I try to plan for a project a year. And so I'll reach out to you and say, I've got a project. And sometimes it's simple. It's just the toilets, or it's replacing the windows. I think that might be along the front of the house, so that we upgraded them to the best possible windows. And those are really simple. So you come, it tends to be something that goes pretty quickly, and it doesn't require, you know, me meeting with a designer or any selections or anything like that. It's pretty much, it's pretty simple and usually gets scheduled pretty quickly. And then some of the projects involve a little bit of decision making or more, and so they tend to be a little more involved. But regardless of how involved the project has been, the people I've worked with, and I've worked with a lot of different people, depending on which team you send out, have just been great. And the aftercare is so good.
Yeah, definitely. You know, planning for warranty work, nothing's perfect. Things go, you know, things happen. We're humans putting stuff in, products have issues and things like that. So yeah, having the people and planning, you know, for that warranty work and all of that is definitely something I've heard from many, many clients that are like, that's another big plus, that they're like, wow, not only did you send me a letter to say, you know, hey, it's getting close, you know, have you seen anything? What's going on? But you actually came back and I can't get anybody back. And it's great, you know, and they're like, oh yeah, just for that piece. It's like they came back a year later and fixed this or took care of that. And it's such a service that, you know, it's just not always there. And so I'm going to get into my on the road thing here, because I've kind of changed this one up just a tad, because usually every week I kind of tell a story about somebody I visited. You know, I go out, I meet with this new client or whatever, and we talk about a project. So I'll kind of tell the story of like, what were they thinking and how can we help them and things like that. But today I really wanted to touch on more kind of what I get to do with great clients like yourself, because, you know, I've been doing this so long and we have so many repeat clients like you. Those first meetings and first consultations for me are more like going back and sitting down with old friends and chatting it up. And by the way, can you do this in my kitchen? You know, and it's just so awesome to get to do that. So I look back at like everything I've done this year and everything I did in 2022. And so to kind of put it into some statistics for everyone out there, in 2022, I myself signed 57 construction agreements with clients. There's a lot of us that do what we do. We do over like 500 jobs a year with all our people, our staff, our employees. 47 of those projects were a repeat client. 47.
Wow.
That's 82%. It is like, it's so different for me because I'm seeing so many less, you know, new people coming in, and that I'm just like going back and meeting old friends and having a good time. so far this year, I've got 14 and 12 are repeat clients. So now I'm 86% kind of work. And I'm wondering where, you know, when does it get to 100? Wouldn't this be great? Where it's just like, that's all I do. I just go back and... But really, to me, it's like, you know, it's great for me because I get to handle what I do that way. And it's just so easy and comfortable and that sort of thing. But really, to the field that's doing what we do and saying what we say and really walking that walk, because it doesn't matter how good a time I have, if we don't show up and do what we say, it's just not going to matter. You know, that's the repeats won't be there. The stuff won't happen. So to me, this isn't about me. This is about how we're doing something right with the field, guys, and our processes and training and learning and, you know, striving to do the best thing. Basically, my theory is, and maybe those percentages going up kind of proves that, we're better today than we were last year, but we're not as good today as we will be next year. And that's kind of what we do and what we strive for and everything. So I can't wait to get into more of these stories. I can't wait to get into this CASA stuff. We're going to do that next after my hack and after the break. But I really can't wait to get into all of that with you. And for everybody else, you can call us at 314-909-1800 or call Mosby.com. Find us online, get all the information, and we'll get into my hack and the CASA stuff right after this.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality
Gaze, let's love!
And now, here's Rich's Right at Home Hack.
All right, everybody, we are back. And you heard the man, time for Rich's Right at Home Hack. And here's a quick home fix for a cabinet drawer front that's pulling off, or the sides of the cabinet drawer pulling apart. So cut a couple lengths of quarter round trim, the same height as the interior drawer depth. Hold them in place in the corner while you drill a couple holes into that piece of trim. You're going to want to dab some polyurethane glue. Remember, wood glue doesn't stick real well on smooth finishes like interior cabinet surfaces, so a polyurethane glue would work much better. Put that piece in there, screw that through, and it makes a nice little block of wood on the inside corner of that drawer that's rounded off. And the amazing thing is the color of that raw pine trim matches beautifully with the inside color of your typical cabinet drawer. So it blends right in. Perfect, easy fix. Voila. I like to keep it simple, easy, and effective. So hopefully that'll help you guys all out. And remember, you can search my Facebook, LinkedIn, search Rich Orts Mosby. You can get to these hacks every single week. We'll have them on there. So for now, I'm going to get back here with Kimberly Vitale, lifelong client, friend, I feel, and just great, great experiences. And we've done so many great things with you. But I want to get into this CASA organization, because I've went to one of the events one time and stuff, and, you know, really had a good time. And it's such a great organization that you're a part of. Can you just kind of explain to everybody what that CASA organization, you know, is? What do they do, and how are they helping?
Absolutely. So CASA stands for Court Appointed Special Advocates. And those are volunteers who are guided by our amazing staff who advocate within the court system for children in foster care.
Yeah.
So the way the foster care system works, or the way the system works, is that the courts focus on the family as a rule. What CASA does is focus entirely on the needs of the children. So if a children comes into foster care and maybe has medical needs, and maybe they have educational needs, psychological needs, mental health, it's the courts, with the help of CASA, that mandate that service. So it's the CASA volunteers who work with the children, understand their needs, and then come to the court and say, this is what the child needs. So that's 100% what we do.
Wow. And that's, you know, such a great thing, because, you know, and what I've always heard my whole life is, oh, children are resilient, you know, and they'll bounce back, and they'll, you know, they recover quicker from surgery, all this different stuff. But, you know, hearing some of those stories in person and really what happens and what these kids actually go through, I mean, you're not human if you're not absolutely in tears when you start to hear what happens to these children. So, yeah, it's a great thing to have somebody that can actually advocate for that child. That,
exactly.
You know, this is what they're going to need and stuff, because they're pretty much alone when these things happen. And that's, you know, what a horrible thing. But so can you just touch on your involvement in, you know, your position in CASA and all of that, and what do you do with them?
Yeah, I was introduced to CASA by a friend almost 6 years ago, and I've been the board chair for the past 4 years. So nice. Serving on the board of directors, you get an amazing view into the organization, but then also into the people like yourself who participate in a gala and are moved by it and want to do more to help.
Yeah.
Because so much of our challenge, because we are volunteers, it's volunteers who are serving these children, we're pretty small staff. And there are about 250 volunteers in the St. Louis area who are the ones working with the children, who are staying with the children throughout their time in foster care.
Wow. Yeah. And so how long has CASA been helping children?
We've been around here in St. Louis for 40 years. So,
wow.
So CASA was founded by NCJW, the National Council of Jewish Women, 40 years ago. Our St. Louis CASA was one of the first three in the nation. And now there are over 900 CASA organizations across the country. So we are very proud to have been helping children in St. Louis for over 40 years.
Wow. Yeah, that's a long time. That is really impressive. So let's talk about the pandemic for just a moment. I know we're kind of like it's in the background and, you know, it's not a big deal. But, you know, kind of we've talked for years about how the pandemic has affected all of these different organizations and events and things. But so how's post-pandemic now that it's not as bad and we can do things, you know, getting back to some live events and connecting in person and stuff. How's it been kind of post that and some of these events and everything?
Well, it's been wonderful post-pandemic, I think, for the children and for the CASA volunteers. If you can imagine, during the pandemic, the advocates actually couldn't meet with the children in their homes. And sometimes couldn't meet with them in person for some period of time. In the wintertime, you can't really meet outside. So now the advocates are having conversations on FaceTime or on the phone, which can be quite a challenge, especially if you have a really small child. So post-pandemic has been huge for the hearts of our CASA volunteers, because they're able to get back and start working with those children face-to-face. From the organizational perspective, we've really developed kind of a hybrid type of system. So some things we do, we still do on Zoom.
Yeah.
But we are happily getting back to in-person events. So because building awareness is such a huge part of what we do, it's really hard to build awareness if you're trying to do like a Zoom happy hour versus versus an in-person event. So, but like our CASA training actually remains virtual. So that's been huge, because the CASA volunteers now who go through over 35 hours of training to become a volunteer advocate now can do that basically from home, versus before where they had to go in and sit in a classroom for 3 or 4 hours a night to get to this point.
Yeah, so that probably saves them some good time. And like most, you know, organizations and businesses, there's a lot of the, you know, that whole new change thing, that the new now and the parts of it that, you know, we're remaining to do, because we're almost kind of like, wow, it's a shame that we needed something like that to get us to start doing, because we should have been doing this all along. You know, it would have been great. DocuSign for me and for Mosby is like, I was like, why were we not doing that? I literally bought a house with DocuSign pre-pandemic, you know, in from Chicago.
Wow.
While I was at like a seminar training thing and signed all the papers and everything. And then, you know, a few years later, I'm in the middle of this pandemic and everything's happened on DocuSign. And I'm like, huh, that was like 4 years ago that I bought the house. Why haven't I been doing this from day one?
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a lot of stuff like that that is good to keep going. And it's really, you know, has taught us to save time and gas and all the different things. That's really, really cool. So I want to talk about some of the events you have coming up because years back I went to that gala. It was a great time. My daughter still probably thanks you for getting me to
<That's right. laughs>
auction on Shawn Mendes concert tickets, and she got to go to that. but it was awesome, and went to this great cause and everything. But so, what are the couple of events you guys have coming up here?
We have one that is near and dear to my heart because it involves wine tasting. So on Wednesday, May 18th from 5 to 7 p.m., we're at Parker's Table in Clayton for our second wine tasting event. So it's small. Only 80 people can fit in the door, but it's $50 a person. And you can come in and taste a selection of wine and non-alcoholic beverages with complimentary food. So the idea is we're working with Parker's Table on pairings. And so that'll be a really fun event. They have a beautiful space and it makes for a really nice event. And it's a wonderful way to bring people together, to raise awareness for CASA, and to sip a little wine.
And you know what? I'm not a big wine person. And if people out there, if you're not a big wine person, I've been to the wine pairing before. And until you try it with the proper foods, you don't appreciate it. Like, it's so much better. There was definitely several that I was like, oh, wow, see, this really works together. And I've never really been, a wine drinker. But there's some,
really
some wines
amazing
out there that go really good with food. So if you haven't tried it, you should try it.
It's a fun one. And then the other thing we have coming up is in September. And that is a trivia night on Saturday, September 9th. It is at Our Lady of Sorrows Church in South St. Louis. And that's put on by our Young Professionals Board. So the Young Professionals plan that whole event. Tickets are usually either $20 or $25 a person, or you can buy a table, of course. And so that's a really fun, honestly, low-cost way, very St. Louis, to have a trivia night.
Oh, yeah.
So St. Louis loves a trivia night, and that's a wonderful way to come and support and have a great time.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. And, yeah, you're right. St. Louis, we do a lot of those, and it's really nice. So how can listeners, donate, get involved, or get information about attending these events?
Our website is stlcasa.org. So the information about the wine tasting is already up. September is when the trivia night is, so we don't have that posted yet, but we will soon. So keep an eye out. We have a Facebook page as well, CASA St. Louis. And there are also opportunities. You can explore opportunities on the website to donate, to become a CASA volunteer. And we're always looking for members for our Young Professionals Board. So if you are 40 or younger and interested in learning about the organization and really about nonprofit board service, then that's a wonderful way to kind of get your feet wet.
No, that sounds really, really good. And that, definitely check into all that. And for us at Mosby, something we've started doing in the past few years is donating at the end of some of these big jobs. And instead of bringing a gift, having the client say, yep, here's my organization, we'll donate so much to your favorite organization or whatever. So that's a great thing that we, like to do and help out. And, at the end of some of our larger projects and stuff. So we'll get into more of that right after we return after the break.
Listening to Ride at Home with Rich. And now, here's your host, Rich Horace.
All right, everybody, we are back. Final segment here. Having such a great time and a great conversation with Kimberly Vitale, one of our great longtime clients that hopefully is spreading some good word and things so that people out there really can grasp and understand, you know, what Mosby's trying to do different and why, and really, you know, playing the other side of the card when it comes to construction and remodeling and things like that, because not everybody focuses on the right issues, you know, when doing, you know, remodeling work and things like that, and their mindset's just kind of in a different place. So Kimberly, I know, you know, we've talked about all these different, you know, times and projects and things, but I want to kind of get into the field guys just a little bit, and like the project managers and the guys working in the field and stuff, like you mentioned Steve Kreider. So you've done several different types of project, had several different project managers and project leads with different projects. Can you just kind of maybe touch on, you know, and explaining how that affected the construction, how it affected you during the construction and that whole remodeling experience?
I don't think that it had a huge impact in terms of the different people, because everyone works kind of to the same standard. So I had their cell phone numbers. They communicated with me every morning to say, we'll be there at this time, if we hadn't communicated the previous day. All really easy to speak with, and all did what they said they were going to do. So they've all been wonderful, and it's been very, very much seamless, whether it was outside work, inside work, a small project or a larger project, that it's consistently been the really responsive and, you know, just really satisfying results.
Yeah. And you know, you kind of mentioned, like, I had their cell phone number. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, years ago, one of the things that we started doing when we have larger projects was sending out information to the neighbors and kind of saying, hey, it's going to be a big project. We're going to be there for an extended period of time. You know, here's a cell phone number of the project manager and you know, other companies that Scott Mosby had conversations with. And he meets with these other companies in these groups and talks about the things they're doing. And they were all at the time, they were like, are you crazy? Like, my project managers would probably leave me and quit if I gave the neighbor their cell phone number. And we were like, but your client's going to have it, right? Like, so if somebody has it that has a conversation they need to have, or an issue or a comment, or why wouldn't you want them to have it? So, you know, and then of course what happens is 2-3 years later, because of that, we're doing the room addition across the street.
Yep.
And the other companies are like, yeah, so when did you send that letter out? And we're, you know, and then now they're doing it. You know, they're like, what a great idea. And it's like, well, not just serve you, but serve the community, serve the people around. Like, just make sure that we're not doing something that's impeding in other people's lives and, you know, things like that. And I've had, usually the call we get is like, you know, I remember one a couple years ago where they called and said, you know, we were doing all this brick work and we had a trailer with all this scaffold and different stuff, and we had it parked on the street, and you know, one of the neighbor across the street called the project manager and just said, you know, I have a teenage daughter. She is not the best driver, and where that trailer is, it's kind of hard for her to get in and out of our driveway. And we literally just shifted it like 20 feet. Yeah. Made a world of difference for that person. We will probably remodel their bathroom next year or something. But, you know, if they didn't know, they'd be walking over trying to find people. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a hassle to just be able to pick up the phone and call and get through that is just so easy for everybody. And it should be an experience that everybody gets to have. But I also wanted to touch on, you know, pets in the home and things that, because we try and have in our processes to ask and think about all these things. So, you know, during some of the jobs or like that bigger job, what was really the experience for you and in your cats
right.
while we did that?
That's a really good question. So I've had a couple of large enough projects that were inside the house that the Mosby team had, the on-site guys have had to either build a door so yeah. that prevented my cats from going into the work area or put up a plastic wall.
Yeah.
When we created my dining room out of a sunroom, it started with a plastic wall that had a zipper in it, and the cats were young and pretty ambitious yeah. at that time, and they basically chewed on the wall until they got through or learned how to unzip the zipper. And so it required like a whole nother level of
That's
of
awesome.
Attention.
Yeah.
But Mosby has been wonderful about really making those accommodations. And I remember when we were working on the Master Suite Edition and Steve built the door essentially in the hallway. I said, well, it has to be a door. I've got to be able to like go back every night when you guys leave and walk around. I want to see what's going on. It can't be that I have to, you know, get to my house, walk all the way around to the back of the house to get to the house and get in and see what's going on. And so he yeah. very kindly accommodated that and made sure that the cats and I could explore after everything, you know, after you guys were gone for
yeah.
the day. So, yeah, it's working with pets there can be a challenge. I have a picture, I think, from one of a really early project where there was a painter painting crouched down low and the cats were all over him. And so I had to get, you know, paint off the cat's tails, and the poor guy was crouched down and had to
yeah.
kind of like not tip over on a cat. But they're always been great about it. I think you must have an entire team of pet lovers at Mosby.
Well, you know, it's really company culture. You know, it's teaching that stuff and talking about that stuff. And then when someone is working with us and they start to see the effects, they're like, oh, wow, that really is important to people. Because even if you aren't, you know, like me, like most of us, we just want to do good things and we want to help people. And when you see that it helps, you kind of go, oh, you know, that's really important. And pets are children to a lot of people. And they're very, very important. I actually had a client I talked to where she was looking for a different company. She'd done a design and stuff for her kitchen with one company. And she basically told me, she was reshopping, trying to find another company because they ignored her dog.
Oh, wow.
And she asked for things about the dog, and they didn't come to
yeah.
play. They didn't think about it. They didn't, you know. And then when she said, you know, one thing about it, and they were like, oh, yeah, we did. And she's like, I've been telling you this from the get-go. Like, you know, my dog lives here. This is like my child. We need this stuff to interact. And they had no thought for the dog whatsoever. So she was... Yep, I'm going yeah. somewhere else. I want someone that's going to, you know, that cares about that thing. And one of my favorite ones that we did years ago, and we're actually another good lifelong client that we've done tons for. We're getting ready to start another job for them in like May or June or something. But we did their laundry room. And when we remodeled their laundry room, we made this cabinet that the cats could go under the door. There's no toe kick. And that's where their litter boxes are. And they can, the doors can open and shut.
Idea.
And yeah, and they're just, and there's a little light in there that like can click on when they, you know, a little motion thing. Really cool. And then we went to do their kitchen, which is between where the cats live and the laundry room. And everybody was like, oh, well, how do the cats get to the litter box, you know, and all this? So basically, when we put our plastic walls on each side, they put sonotube, round cardboard running along the one wall from one side to the other that the cat could run through and get to the laundry room. And then the cat that was around there and in there curious so much that they ended up cutting out a couple squares and covering it with clear plastic, and the cat would sit in the sonotube and watch them work.
Oh my gosh. I feel like there should be a video on the website of that. Like, that would be amazing.
Yeah. So we've gone to great lengths for simple things that mean so much more than even probably the whole kitchen project. When I talk to them about their kitchen project, that's what they talk about. They don't talk about the microwave that's down low that they could get to now that's a drawer, all this different stuff. They're like, oh, they took such good care of my cats.
I can see that, yeah.
It was absolutely amazing, you know, and I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and it's about getting that culture into everybody, you know, as a company. But we're getting short on time here. Can you kind of tell everybody one more time about that CASA, how they can give them the information with how they can donate, volunteer, come to some of these events?
Absolutely. So we talk about time, talent, and treasure. And so we are happy and grateful for any of it from anyone. So stlcasa.org is our website. You'll see places on there if you're interested in becoming a volunteer advocate, if you're interested in joining the Young Professionals Board, if you want to donate or do some wine tasting. So everything is there at stlcasa.org.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. And thank you for coming on. Thank you for what you do with CASA, because I think
it's such a
great thing. It's so commendable and everything in doing that with the organization and really, you know, just helping out.
Thank you for highlighting CASA today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I thank you for that. And so for everybody else out there, if you ever want anything like this done for Mosby, 314-909-1800, call Mosby.com, and I'll talk to everybody else next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Ride at Home with Rich. And now, here's your host, Rich Horace.
All right, everybody, we are back. Final segment here. Having such a great time and a great conversation with Kimberly Vitel, one of our great longtime clients that hopefully is spreading some good word and things so that people out there really can grasp and understand, you know, what Mosby's trying to do different and why, and really, you know, playing the other side of the card when it comes to construction and remodeling and things like that, because not everybody focuses on the right issues, you know, when doing, you know, remodeling work and things like that, and their mindset's just kind of in a different place. So Kimberly, I know, you know, we've talked about all these different, you know, times and projects and things, but I want to kind of get into the field guys just a little bit, and like the project managers and the guys working in the field and stuff, like you mentioned Steve Kreider. So you've done several different types of project, had several different project managers and project leads with different projects. Can you just kind of maybe touch on, you know, and explaining how that affected the construction, how it affected you during the construction and that whole remodeling experience?
I don't think that it had a huge impact in terms of the different people, because everyone works kind of to the same standard. So I had their cell phone numbers. They communicated with me every morning to say, we'll be there at this time, if we hadn't communicated the previous day. All really easy to speak with, and all did what they said they were going to do. So I've worked with, they've all been wonderful, and it's been very, very much seamless, whether it was outside work, inside work, a small project or a larger project, that it's consistently been the really responsive and, you know, just really satisfying results.
Yeah. And you know, you kind of mentioned, like, I had their cell phone number. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, years ago, one of the things that we started doing when we have larger projects was sending out information to the neighbors and kind of saying, hey, it's going to be a big project. We're going to be there for an extended period of time. You know, here's a cell phone number of the project manager and you know, other companies that Scott Mosby had conversations with. And he meets with these other companies in these groups and talks about the things they're doing. And they were all at the time, they were like, are you crazy? Like, my project managers would probably leave me and quit if I gave the neighbor their cell phone number. And we were like, but your client's going to have it, right? Like, so if somebody has it that has a conversation they need to have, or an issue or a comment, or why wouldn't you want them to have it? So, you know, and then of course what happens is 2-3 years later, because of that, we're doing the room addition across the street.
Yep.
And the other companies are like, yeah, so when did you send that letter out? And we're, you know, and then now they're doing it. You know, they're like, that, what a great idea. And it's like, well, not just serve you, but serve the community, serve the people around. Like, just make sure that we're not doing something that's impeding in other people's lives and, you know, things like that. And I've had, usually the call we get is like, you know, I remember one a couple years ago where they called and said, you know, we were doing all this brick work and we had a trailer with all this scaffold and different stuff and we had it parked on the street and, you know, one of the neighbor across the street called the project manager and just said, you know, I have a teenage daughter. She is not the best driver, and where that trailer is, it's kind of hard for her to get in and out of our driveway, and we literally just shifted it like 20 feet. Yeah. Made a world of difference for that person. We will probably remodel their bathroom next right. year or something, but you know, if they didn't know, they'd be walking over trying to find people. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a hassle, but to just be able to pick up the phone, a call, and get through that is just so easy for everybody, and it should be an experience that everybody gets to have. But I also wanted to touch on, you know, pets in the home and things that, because we try and have in our processes to ask and think about all these things. So, you know, during some of the jobs or like that bigger job, what was really the experience for you and in your cats
right.
while we did that?
That's a really good question. So I've had a couple of large enough projects that were inside the house that the Mosby team had, the on-site guys have had to either build a door so yeah. that prevented my cats from going into the work area, or put up a plastic wall.
Yeah.
When we created my dining room out of a sunroom, it started with a plastic wall that had a zipper in it. And the cats were young and pretty ambitious yeah. at that time. And they basically chewed on the wall until they got through or learned how to unzip the zipper. And so it required like a whole nother level of
awesome.
Attention.
Yeah.
But Mosby has been wonderful about really making those accommodations. And I remember when we were working on the Master Suite Edition and Steve built the door essentially in the hallway. I said, well, it has to be a door. I've got to be able to like go back every night when you guys leave and walk around. So I want to see what's going on. It can't be that I have to, you know, get to my house, walk all the way around to the back of the house to get to the house and get in and see what's going on. And so he yeah. very kindly accommodated that and made sure that the cats and I could explore after everything, you know, after you guys were gone for
yeah.
the day. So, yeah, it's working with pets there can be a challenge. I have a picture, I think, from one of a really early project where there was a painter painting crouched down low and the cats were all over him. And so I had to get, you know, paint off the cat's tails, and the poor guy was crouched down and had to
yeah.
kind of like not tip over on a cat. But they're always been great about it. I think you must have an entire team of pet lovers at Mosby.
Well, you know, it's really company culture. You know, it's teaching that stuff and talking about that stuff. And then when someone is working with us and they start to see the effects, they're like, oh, wow, that really is important to people. Because even if you aren't, you know, like me, like most of us, we just want to do good things and we want to help people. And when you see that it helps, you kind of go, oh, you know, that's really important. And pets are children to a lot of people. And they're very, very important. I actually had a client I talked to where she was looking for a different company. She had done a design and stuff for her kitchen with one company. And she basically told me she was reshopping, trying to find another company because they ignored her dog.
Oh, wow.
And she asked for things about the dog and they didn't come to play. They didn't think about it. They didn't, you know, and then when she said, you know, one thing about it and they were like, oh, yeah, we did. And she's like, I've been telling you this from the get-go. Like, you know, my dog lives here. This is like my child. We need this stuff to interact. And they had no thought for the dog whatsoever. So she was, yep, I'm going somewhere else. I want someone that's going to, you know, that cares about that thing. And one of my favorite ones that we did years ago, and we're actually another good lifelong client that we've done tons for. We're getting ready to start another job for them in like May or June or something. But we did their laundry room. And when we remodeled their laundry room, we made this cabinet that the cats could go under the door. There's no toe kick. And that's where their litter boxes are. And the doors can open and shut.
Idea.
And yeah, and they're just, and there's a little light in there that like can click on when they, you know, a little motion thing. Really cool. And then we went to do their kitchen, which is between where the cats live and the laundry room. And everybody was like, oh, well, how do the cats get to the litter box, you know, and all this? So basically, when we put our plastic walls on each side, they put sonotube, round cardboard, running along the one wall from one side to the other that the cat could run through and get to the laundry room. And then the cat that was around there and in there and curious so much that they ended up cutting out a couple squares and covering it with clear plastic, and the cat would sit in the sonotube and watch them work.
Oh my gosh. I feel like there should be a video on the website of that. Like, that would be amazing.
Yeah. So we've gone to great lengths for simple things that mean so much more than even probably the whole kitchen project. When I talk to them about their kitchen project, that's what they talk about. They don't talk about the microwave that's down low that they could get to now that's a drawer, all this different stuff. They're like, oh, they took such good care of my cats.
I can see that, yeah.
It was absolutely amazing, you know, and I'm like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and it's about getting that culture into everybody, you know, as a company. But we're getting short on time here. Can you kind of tell everybody one more time about that CASA, how they can get... Give them the information with how they can donate, volunteer, come to some of these events.
Absolutely. So we talk about time, talent, and treasure. And so we are happy and grateful for any of it from anyone. So stlcasa.org is our website. You'll see places on there if you're interested in becoming a volunteer advocate, if you're interested in joining the Young Professionals Board, if you want to donate or do some wine tasting. So everything is there at stlcasa.org.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely awesome. And thank you for coming on. Thank you for what you do with CASA, because I think such a great thing. It's so commendable and everything in doing that with the organization and really, you know, just helping out.
Thank you for highlighting CASA today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I thank you for that. And so for everybody else out there, if you ever want anything like this done for Mosby, 314-909-1800, call Mosby.com, and I'll talk to everybody else next week.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.